Hey guys, thanks again for tuning in to another episode of the Celeste Home Podcast. Before we get started, I just wanted to let you know that support for this episode is brought to you once again by Manscaped. Are you looking for the perfect gift for your partner this holiday season? Well, we have the perfect package for his perfect package. The Perfect Package 3.0 by Manscaped is the number one recommended gift all year long. The Perfect Package 3.0 by Manscaped, I have it, and it is by far the best grooming set out there, bar none. First, it comes in a kick-ass toiletry bag called The Shed. Inside The Shed, you'll find the stunning new trimmer, the Lawnmower 3.0, which is the best below-the-belt groomer trimmer out there, which can be used on any part of the body. Got a hairy chest? Got a hairy back? Got hair down there? Just use a trimmer. It takes care of all of it. I would not recommend using it on the face if you're using it down there. Just a point of order, just for, you know, cleanliness purposes. Also, guys, I know that I've been, hawking this now for the last few episodes, and, you know, it is a male trimmer. But ladies, all the ladies who listen to this show, or if you are a man who has a lady in your life, this trimmer is a perfect trimmer for your special lady as well. It'll get the job done, and it'll make both of your lives a lot happier. What also comes in the Perfect Package 3.0 is the Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant, Crop Reviver Ball Toner, and the very, very stylish Reduced Chafing Boxers from Manscaped. These formulations are all vegan, cruelty-free, dye-free, sulfate-free, and paraben-free, so you know your manhood is in good hands. Guys, I'm not a man who knows a lot of things about a lot of things, but Slesson soccer and grooming are two of the things that I probably know best, and I want you guys to know it too. So go to manscaped.com and type in the code Slesson, that's S-E-L-E-C-A-O, and save 20% off, and you get free shipping when you go to manscaped.com and enter the code S-E-L-E-C-A-O, Slesson. Manscaped will ship throughout the United States, as well as Canada, the UK, Australia, and New Zealand. So save 20% plus free shipping with the code SLESSON at manscaped.com. This holiday season, give your testies the besties with Manscaped.
What's going on, guys? I'm Cristiano Oliveira from the Benfica Podcast, and you're listening to the SLESSON Podcast.
Simões, bending one for Torres. Eusebio. Have you ever seen anything like that?
Bem jogado por Simão. A passar por dois adversários, Simão. A tentar oferecer o golo a Figo. E a bola é gol! O golo da Figo!
Ricosta vai, acreditou. Vai tirar para o golo. Atira o golo!
From the Celeste Podcast Studios, we welcome you to episode number 38 of the Celeste Podcast, a proud partner of Portugal.net and presented by SlessOnPod.com. My name is Danny Pinto. I am your host. Thank you all once again for tuning in to the latest podcast as we have reached the final two matches of the Nations League. Beginning Saturday on November the 14th in Lisboa, the Slesson will take on France in a possible winner-take-all match at the Stadio da Luz. And then 3 days later on Tuesday, November the 17th, the Portuguese national team will play their final group match of Group 3 in League A of the Nations League. You guys still with me here? As they will travel to play in Croatia. We will preview those matches, plus take a look back at the 7-0 victory in the friendly against Andorra earlier this week, and analyze Nansen's final call-up of 2020. And we'll do all of that with our guest for episode number 38 of the Slesson Podcast, Cristiano Oliveira from the Benfica Podcast. But before we do all that, as always, another friendly reminder of all the ways you can support and stay connected to the Slesson Podcast. First and foremost, our website, SlessonPod.com. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at SlessonPod. Like and share our Facebook page, facebook.com/SlessOnPod. And as always, you can email the show, SlessOnPod@gmail.com. Please download, listen, subscribe, rate, and review our show via Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, or any other podcasting platform you are using. And as we are entering the holiday season, if you're in that giving mood, please drop a nice review and a rating of Cinque Strelas on Apple Podcasts. The more positive feedback we get there, the more visible it makes the show on podcasting charts, which in turn makes it easier for more people to do what you lovely people already do, which is listen and support this fine podcast. So we thank you guys for tuning in again. Before we get to our interview with Cristiano Oliveira, let's take a quick look at the roster called up by Fernan Sanchez, as well as the easy work put in by the Seleção in their 7-0 friendly against Andorra earlier this week at the Estádio do Luz. First off, the roster is as follows. We have Rui Patricio, Anthony Lopes, and Rui Silva as your goalkeepers. Nelson Smith, João Cancelo, Ruben Dias, José Font, Ruben Smith, Domingos Duarte, Rafael Guerreiro, and Mario Rui are your defenders. In the midfield, William Carvalho, Danilo Pereira, Ruben Neves, João Moutinho, Renato Santos, Sergio Oliveira, and Bruno Fernandes. And your forwards and wingers are Bernardo Silva, Pedro Neto, Trincão, Diogo Jota, João Félix, Paulinho, and captain Cristiano Ronaldo. So in terms of this 25-man roster, obviously a couple of changes here. Pep, he's injured. He is not able to make the call this go-around. So in terms of center backs, you have José Font, Ruben Dias, Domingos Duarte, and Ruben Smith. Domingos Duarte was the call-up for José Font last go-around when José Font was out due to COVID. José Font back in the Seleção fold, but now Pep out this go-around with injury. So Domingos Duarte is in for him as well. You can tell right now there's about five center backs in this rotation of defenders for Fernando Santos. It looks like Domingos Duarte may be number five, as he always comes in for someone who is injured or unavailable, but still always a good option to have. Looks like there's a lot of depth there currently. We'll see how it looks down the road. But so not a lot of changes on the defensive side there. In terms of the midfield, pretty stacked there and similar to what it was before, as well as goalkeeper. The glaring updates here, and in a positive way, are up front. So no Daniel Podence, no Rafa Silva, no André Silva, no Gonçalo Guedes. You bring in Pedro Neto for his first call-up. You bring in Paulinho for his first call-up. And then, obviously, the returning Cristiano Ronaldo after he missed the last game against Sweden due to testing positive for COVID-19. Up front, dude, it is stacked as stacked gets. These seven players are all explosive. They all bring a certain offensive quality to this Portuguese attack, an attack that with the solid play in the midfield from players like Bruno Fernandes and William Carvalho and João Moutinho, and we'll touch on Renato Santos a little bit. Again, all levels of this squad are solid. This is a world-class national team. And we'll talk a little bit about it with Cristiano Oliveira in the interview. But you know, it's for me, it's time for us to not be always not, and not that I'm surprised by anything, but it's like we need to believe that we're as good as we are. And obviously, there's a huge match that's coming up on Saturday against France. We lose that, we're out of the Nations League, and then obviously the focus goes to the Euros next summer. But there should not be any surprises as to A, how good in terms of quality, in terms of depth that this Seleção has, and B, there shouldn't be any surprises if we win this group, because I believe this team can go toe-to-toe with any team in the world at any given time, at any location. I think our best against anybody else's best is comparable, and I think that this team as loaded as it is up front, is a nightmare for other nations around the world, specifically for France. France has a wonderful defense. We talked with Jeremy Smith about it last month. There's an abundance of talent up and down France's lineup, and I don't even want to suggest that what I think is going to happen on Saturday is going to be some sort of cakewalk, because you know France is not Andorra, and we'll talk about the match, the friendly, in a little bit here. But this team, as currently constructed, you know, let's bring Pep back into the fold here for a second. I don't think that there's anyone who can make a case that wasn't called up to say there's no way that so-and-so should be called up or shouldn't be called up because, you know, Andre Silva should be up or, you know, Gonçalves Guedes should be up or Andre Gomes should be up or anybody, you know? This team is, in its current construction, this may be the best talent that this national team has ever seen. Now, what it does with that talent remains to be seen, because, you know, some of these guys, I mean, these kids are 20, 21, 22, 23, about a handful of these guys. And again, in each phase of the field, with the exception of goalkeeper, you know, you have Ruben Dias, who's 23. Renat Sanch is 23. You have a trio of 20-year-olds. Well, now João Félix just turned 21, but João Félix, 21. Trincão and Pedro Neto, who are 20. You know, Diogo Jota just turned 23. There is this young crop that have not seen any kind of big-time senior-level football with this national team yet. There's an abundance of confidence that I see on social media, and I see with this team in this type of togetherness, and that's something that I kind of talk about at the end with Cristiano Oliveira too, is this team is just so together, so close, and the combination of that plus the talent plus the manner in which this team takes each match is such a such a special time. And listen, I know that, and I mentioned it, all it takes is one loss to France on Saturday, and we'll be calling for Fernand Sanchez's job. You know, that's just the ebb and flow of soccer and of football, and I get that. But this is a special time, guys, right now that we're living in, yeah, just enjoy it for as long as we possibly can. So, as we go to the lineup for the friendly here with against Andorra that happened this past Wednesday, November the 11th. The lineup looked like this. It was Anthony Lopes in goal. Domingos Duarte getting his first cap with the Seleção. He started in the middle with Ruben Smith. Mario Rui on the left. Nelson Smith on the right. João Moutinho would captain the team in the first half. He alongside of Sergio Oliveira and Renat Sanch in the midfield. And then you had Paulinho also making his first cap, or getting his first cap, and also getting his first cap was Pedro Neto. They were joined by Francisco Trincão up top. In terms of the lineup, I love the lineup, simply because this is what a friendly, which are now few and far between, this is what a friendly is supposed to look like when you have you know, official matches coming up in, you know, 3 days' time, and then another 3 days after that. I loved seeing Domingos Duarte getting his first cap. I loved seeing Paulinho and Pedro Neto getting their first caps. And I just liked seeing guys like Sergio Oliveira getting some getting some burn with the Seleção. Same thing with Mario Rui. These are guys that have been in the fold now for a few years. Sergio Oliveira, you know, applying his trade at Porto. Doesn't get a lot of time with the national team in terms of he never starts, and he very rarely comes in unless it's in mop-up duty. But I just like the fact that Fernand Sanch gave these guys an opportunity to play, because, one, you just don't know what kind of spark you can get from these guys in the opportunity that they get. So For me, it was just good to see and good for everyone involved with this lineup to get them some burn before the two matches against France and Croatia. But in terms of the scoring, they put up 7 goals. Did this lesson in the 8th minute. Pedro Neto would get his first goal in his first match as a senior member of the Slesson. That put the Slesson up by 1-0 in the 8th minute. That goal was assisted by Sergio Oliveira. We move to the 29th minute, and it would be another debut goal for the debutante, who was Paulinho. He would get an assist from Nelson Smith on a wonderful cross and a nice little cheeky touch right in front of the goal by Paulinho to get his first goal and put the Slesson up 2-0 at the half. A few changes for the Slesson. You saw Bernard Silva come in for Sergio Oliveira and Cristiano Ronaldo replacing Pedro Neto. The Slesson would get scoring early and get scoring often in the second half here. In the 56th minute, it would be Renat Sanches scoring for the first time since Euro 2016. He was assisted by Cristiano Ronaldo, a nice little slotted goal to the left side of the goal to put Portugal up 3-0. 5 minutes later, it would be 4-0 as Paulinho would get his second goal. In my opinion, the prettiest goal of the 7 scored by the Slesson, as it would be a beautiful cross by Mario Rui that found Paulinho right on the corner of the 6-yard box, and he smashed it in to give the Slesson a 4-0 lead. The 5th goal would be an own goal, a ball that was put into the box by Bernard Silva. A ball, that was looking towards getting to Cristiano Ronaldo, but that ball was deflected by a defender from Andorra. I believe it was Emily Garcia. That made it 5-0 in the 76th. And then it was two late goals. The bigger one, obviously, by Cristiano Ronaldo. He moves up to now 102 goals in his illustrious national team career. That put up the Slesson up 6-0 against Andorra in the 85th. And then João Félix, who came in for Paulinho, he got a goal to make it 7-0 to the good guys against Andorra. And that was assisted by William Carvalho. And Mario Rui, I failed to mention, got his second assist on Ronaldo's 102nd career national team goal. So as you know, as I mentioned in the episode where we kind of slightly talked about the Spain friendly, the number one thing you want out of these friendlies is no injuries. And from all reports, it does look like the team will be at full strength when they take on France this Saturday, November the 14th. I believe Rafael Guerreiro was not with the team. He was reporting late. Not sure the reason for that. I didn't catch it. I'm sure it's out there, but I don't have it in front of me at this time. It's another shutout, and Andorra didn't have anything going on at all offensively. And shutting out Andorra is not, should not be a surprise and isn't breaking news, but it's the 5th consecutive shutout by this national team, dating back to, the very end of the first match in Nations League group play against Croatia. The Slesson beat Croatia 4-1. They were on their way to a 3-0 victory when Croatia scored in the 90th minute or past the 90th minute. Bruno Petkovic scored to spoil what could have been 6 straight shutouts, the beginning of 6 straight shutouts anyway. But, that's 5 straight shutouts, 2 in friendlies, 3 in Nations League. They weren't tested at all. But for all the run that these kids and all these up-and-coming kids playing up front, and obviously Ronaldo with all his 102 goals, the blueprint for success for a Fernand Sanches team is defensively. And playing well defensively. And if you're not, if Fernand Sanches, A, will find some players who will get the job done, but can this team probably compete in a, you know, a 4-3-2 or a 4-3 match? Yeah, of course they have the firepower to do that. But is this how they are built? Is this the mindset that Fernando Sanchez has built into this team in his now over 6 years at the helm? No. The bread and butter of this team is defensive football. And when you have that type of mentality added on to the offensive explosion that has happened in this Nations League run and in these friendlies, it's a great combination and a very, very tough opponent to be if you see Portugal on your schedule. So France, yeah, they're the defending world champs, but this is not the same Portugal team that beat France in 2016. This is a much, much better team coming into this matchup on Saturday the 14th. And my expectation is for Portugal to beat France. I don't want them to draw France and leave it all up to the game against Croatia. I think Fernando Sanchez has this team believing and wanting to take care of this group at home and make that Croatia match meaningless. And again, I repeat that, you know, going into the final two matches, Portugal and France are tied at top of group three with 10 points apiece. Portugal currently has a four-goal advantage in terms of goal difference over France. It's plus 8 to plus 4. But this first matchup in France ended in a draw. Right now, Croatia and Sweden have no recourse to win this group. It is down to Portugal and France. And if Portugal were to win against France, that would put them up 3 points with one match to play, and they would have a record against France of one win and one draw. That's your tiebreaker. That is your first tiebreaker if, for whatever reason, Portugal lost against Croatia and then France beat Sweden in the last match on the 17th. A win here for either team, whether it's Portugal or France, gives that nation the win in the group. And it is so important, in my opinion, that Portugal not leave it to Croatia. Again, they can, and they're very capable of leaving it to Croatia. But, you know, stranger things have happened. What if France all of a sudden puts up like 9 goals against Sweden? Sweden has not played well. They've lost all 4 of their Nations League matches, and they haven't really been competitive. So why not, if you're Portugal, take care of business against the world champs and prove that you belong in the conversation as one of the best teams in the world right now. So that's a look at the roster and the friendly. We now shift things over to our interview with Cristiano Oliveira of the Benfica podcast as we discuss the roster, the friendly, and these two big-time matchups coming up in the Nations League right here on episode number 38 of the Seleção podcast. All right, guys, so we have you've heard my thoughts on the roster, this final roster of 2020 for the upcoming matches against France and Croatia, the all-important winner-take-all match against France this coming Saturday, November the 14th. And, you know, we've talked a little bit about, give you a little bit of my thoughts on the 7-0 friendly, but to give us some more thoughts, some more in-depth thoughts, is our good friend Cristiano Oliveira from the Benfica podcast. You can follow Cristiano on Twitter at 10CO10. That's the number 10CO and the number 10. He is nice enough to join us here on episode number 38 of the Seleção podcast. Chris, nice to have you back on, man. How are you?
Appreciate it, man. It's always nice to come on here and talk about our beloved Portuguese national team, and especially when things are going well. So thank you for having me back.
Yeah, man, not a problem. I don't remember a time when things were going better other than when the teams won the Euros and the inaugural Nations League. But it's not a bad time right now to wear the red and the green.
You mean you weren't doing a podcast back in the 60s, 1966, when we made that triumphant run? And no.
You know, I almost, I just didn't have enough bandwidth. And also I was swimming, if you get what I'm saying. So, but it's good to have you on, man. Yeah. It's definitely good times, obviously for fans like us of our beloved Slesong. And yeah, it's two big matches, a chance, an opportunity to defend the Nations League title with this winner take all match against France, and if need be, the decisive match against Croatia. Let me first get your thoughts on the call ups for these final matches of 2020. These last two group matches against Croatia and France. What did you think of France's selection for these matches?
Man, I got to be brutally honest. I like it. And for those of you that have listened to me on other podcasts, you know that I always find something to bitch about. And in this instance, I really didn't have much to pick on Fernando Santos about. I like the lineup. I like the youth. Some of the veterans that are there is exactly who we expected to be called up at this time. Unfortunately, Pep and a couple of the guys are – Pep didn't get called up, right? I'm not making a mistake, right?
No. He's still recovering from his injury.
Unfortunately, as a 37-year-old, you know, he's still a guy we count on. But, you know, unfortunately, he couldn't be there for us. But the rest of the lineup, I like the fact you have the young kids, you know, Neto making his debut, Paulinho, the kid from Granada, Domingos Duarte. So I think he's doing a good job of injecting some youth along with the veterans. And, it, you know, it's a beautiful time. Right now, I don't recall a better time for Portugal in recent memory where we just had so many players to pick from. So I'm glad to see this. With all the players throughout Europe and just, you know, throughout world football, I'm pretty sure you miss one or two here and somebody's going to nitpick at things. But right now, I think Fernando Santos with this squad, with this roster of players, I think he's spot on. And I'm very interested to see what happens here in these next two games.
You know, we'll get to the friendly and then the two Nations League matches here. But you mentioned like how, you know, how well the players are doing in Europe and around the world. The roster itself, especially as we've gotten back to, national team soccer for the last part of 2020 after the pandemic, the rosters themselves have not included a lot of Portuguese league players. And obviously you host, Benfica podcast with Alfredo Fumasas and Dave de Oliveira, and you guys obviously talk Benfica, breathe Benfica, but you guys are obviously seeing, you know, the other clubs in Portugal, Porto and Sporting and Braga, less and less, including Benfica, represented. If you look at the call-ups for just these, or the most recent call-up, you have Sergio Oliveira from Porto, and you have Paulinho from Braga. In October, you had Rafa Silva of Benfica, and then you had Daniel Pereira in September when he was still with Porto. Those four players have been the only four players that have been called up from the Portuguese league in these call-ups. Is this an indictment, you think, of the league, or is this just, you know, the reality of doing business between the Portuguese league and the bigger top leagues in Europe?
I think it's more with your second point there. Look, man, it's bittersweet, right? These guys, obviously, they're developing to being, you know, fantastic players, some of them even world-class players. And you know that any player, not just in Portugal, but, you know, majority of the world, with the exception of maybe two, three leagues, right? And even those leagues, depending on the teams that they're in, anybody that shows any type of promise, the big sharks, they come in and, you know, they gobble them up. And that's exactly what's happening here for Portugal. It's a good sign for Portuguese teams because they're able to bank on these guys and they're able to stay afloat. But it's for, you know, now, if you're asking me as a Portuguese soccer fan, as a Liga NOS soccer fan, obviously, you know, it's not good. You've seen a lot of these young pros leave the league, and you're not going to enjoy these guys week in, week out. But like you said, man, it's the signs. It is what it is. Teams are going to come and gobble them up. And, you know, be thankful that we're able to watch these guys at the grand stage. And then when they come back to the Portuguese national team, you know, they got that experience of playing with the bright lights. And you're seeing now, right, with these performances that we've seen, you know, you could definitely see that it's paying off. You know, the experiences that these guys are having at these bigger leagues and bigger clubs throughout European football. So, look, man, it's just you have to take the good with the bad. And right now, this is a sign of times.
We're talking here with Cristiano Oliveira of the Benfica podcast here on episode number 38 of the Seleção podcast. I am your host, Danny Pinto. Chris, let's take a look now, shift our focus to the actual friendly that happened this past Tuesday on the 11th, where Portugal rather easily dispatched of Andorra. No surprise there, 7-0. What were your thoughts of the starting lineup, being that it was made of players primarily, either on the Slesson bench, their fringe players, their young players who are getting called up or got their first caps this past friendly? What did you think of the match in general, and of those players who are not normally involved in as a starter, or we're not normally waiting for them to contribute right away? Who did themselves a positive in their performance, whether it be in their first start or just kind of getting back in the flow of Slesson football?
I enjoyed this, man. I thought it was a breath of fresh air to see Fernando Santos, who is a guy that doesn't take many risks going in here, basically changing out the full 11. And so a lot of these guys, as you mentioned before, Paulinho, Pedro Neto, making their debuts, it was excellent to see these youngsters. Paulinho's not a youngster anymore, but you know what I'm saying. Neto's still young. He's the first player born in the 2000s to feature and score a goal for this Slesson. So I was glad to see that Portugal has so much talent, as we just talked about a few minutes ago. These kids deserve an opportunity. And even the older guys, like a Paulinho, guy that's been putting in the hard work in the Portuguese league, and now he's finally getting rewarded for his good performances. He scores two goals. So to answer your question, as far as someone who did themselves a good service, I think, obviously, anytime you come in and you score goals as a striker, you're having a good day. So I think he'll be happy with that. I was glad to see Renato Sanches get back on the score sheet. The guy hasn't scored a goal for the Portuguese national team since the Euros 2016 against Poland. And obviously, my Benfica bias, I'm ecstatic.
Wait, what?
It's a secret. Don't tell no one.
You should do a podcast.
Yeah, I think about that. I'll take you up. Maybe we'll have you on one day. How about that?
Let's do it.
But I was happy to see him. As far as the guys in the back line, I mean, they really didn't get much work. So I'm going to shout out my boy Nelson Smith, just because, Nelson Smith, the former Benfica guy. So fantastic job. But look, I'm glad that Fernando Santos did this. This is kind of what the Benfiquistas have been screaming about over the last couple of years. When we play the minnows, Benfica plays the minnows or scrimmages, why doesn't whoever the coach is at the time throw in all the youngsters? And this is what Fernando Santos did. So I was surprised by it, but again, I was happy to see it. And I expect and I hope that he, in the future, he does a little bit more of this, because these kids need the experience at this level. It's not easy to come in and represent the Portuguese national team with all the attention on it. And then obviously having a guy like Cristiano Ronaldo, who is such a huge presence. I know some of these guys have played with him in the past, but it's always good to gain that confianza and being around these guys, day in, day out. And so, again, I was ecstatic to see these guys get their opportunities.
You know, it's funny, Chris, when I was watching the broadcast and listening to the broadcast, a guy like Francisco Trincão, who is 20 years old, and you hear now that he's playing with his idol, Cristiano Ronaldo. Dude, it seems like Cristiano Ronaldo started playing and putting on the colors just like yesterday, and now he's being talked about as the elder statesman of the team. And not only that, he's playing with kids that have idolized him for the last 10, 15 years. Normally you have someone who's in the transition of their career at 35, 36 years old, but not Ronaldo. He scores his 102nd goal. He's back with a vengeance ever since coming back from being out on quarantine with the COVID diagnosis. He's scored every match that he's played for Juventus this season, and he continues to go up the international scoring list. That, on top of these young kids who are not only idolizing him, but are bringing that talent, especially up front, João Félix, Trincão, the call-ups of Pedro Neto, and the emergence of Diogo Jota. Man, it is a good thing and a nice thing to see, to have this group of young players not only be able to play with a guy like Ronaldo that they've idolized, but be able to hang with him so to speak, and be able to contribute with him on the field.
Man, what can I tell you about Cristiano Ronaldo that hasn't already been said or that you don't already know, right? Ronaldo is Ronaldo, a guy, like you said, he's been around. There's a couple other guys on this team that seem like they've been around since I was a little kid, and that's Pepe, another 37-year-old. José Fonte's been around for a minute. Rui Patricio, he started at such a young age with Sporting, and we still think, you know, the guy started yesterday, but he's been around for quite a while. And then you have João Moutinho. So those five guys, they've been around since, what, 2010? It's been a minute since these guys have been around in this club.
Sure.
Well, national team, I should say. But Cristiano, look, the guy is just – he's a goal-scoring machine. He's the ultimate professional. I've had the privilege of speaking to many players who have played with him, both in England and Spain, and obviously with the Portuguese national team. And I'm yet to meet one that has a negative thing to say about him. And the one thing that's key here is Ronaldo's professional attitude is you know, never say die attitude, and the fact that he treats all his teammates with respect, no matter how big or small, no matter how much they've done in their career, in their careers. And it's key here. When you got a guy like Trincão coming in and saying, look, I'm playing with my idol, right? When you're playing with a guy that's, for lack of a better word, an a-hole, right? It's difficult for you to get into the rhythm of things and for you to feel comfortable and you know, really be at your best. But when you have a superstar, right? And this is exactly what Cristiano Ronaldo is. He is a superstar. Not many in the history of the game that have been bigger than him as far as that attention of the game, right? And when he makes things easy for you, come in and you get to adapt. You just get to play at your best. You get to perform at your best and show what you really have. And this is what the national team is doing. All these kids are coming in from their respective clubs, right, where they're playing key parts. And now they're coming into the national team, and the big boy on the block is letting them be themselves rather than trying to, you know, put a muzzle on these guys and tame them. No, it's from what we hear, right, he's letting these kids be themselves. He's letting them shine on their own. But make no mistake about it, buddy, Ronaldo, at the end of the day, he still wants that rock and he wants to put it in the back of the net. We saw it in a game against Andorra, a meaningless game, a game that was already, I mean, before they even stepped into the pitch at Estadio da Luz, we knew who already the victor was going to be. And he comes into a game that was already, já estava tudo controlado, and he's fiending for that goal. And you know, it's not about Andorra. It's not about that one goal. It's about that 109 number that you mentioned before.
Absolutely.
That's what it's about. He's ultra, ultra competitive. And we know he's thinking ahead. And even a meaningless game like this is going to contribute to where he eventually wants to end up. And so, fantastic job by him. Fantastic job by Fernando Santos. Fantastic by everybody. I mean, right now, all these guys are playing such huge roles throughout European football. And when they come in here, man, it's a beautiful thing to watch rather than that boring stuff that we've been accustomed to, for a long part of my life. You know, I'm a little bit older than you are. And there was times that you know, you'd rather be doing something else, than watching the game. But it's wonderful to watch, man.
Absolutely. We're talking with Cristiano Oliveira of the Benfica podcast here on episode number 38 of the Seleção podcast. Cristiano, let's now focus on the matches that matter here, the two final Nations League matches between the Seleção and France on Saturday, November the 14th, and the final match on Tuesday, November the 17th. We'll focus on France here just because a win here, I should say, by either of these teams will give them it will clinch the group and a spot in the semifinals, as the head to head would be the first tiebreaker if they happen to end in points, the same points, I should say. For me, I feel that the match is probably a bigger deal for Portugal than it is for France. France have won multiple World Cups. They've won multiple Euros. With that said, I think that this is just another opportunity for Portugal to prove that they are among the best in the world in terms of national teams. They're currently ranked fifth in the world, fourth in Europe, the defending European champions that did not get a lot of respect based on, you know, not being able to close out games in 90 minutes for the majority of the knockout stages, tying all three group matches in 2016. Yet they are the ones that have the trophy, winning the inaugural Nations League, which make of it whatever it is. Someone had to win the first. I'm glad it's Portugal. I'm sure you're glad it's Portugal too. But what would a victory, and let's hope that's what we get, but what would a victory do, you think, for those who still aren't sure about where Portugal stands in the world game, and what kind of pressure do you think the team may be under just a guess here, on getting that result at home against France to also prove to themselves that they're among the world's best?
Look, as far as pressure goes, I don't have an exact answer for that, right? I know some would think there's huge amounts of pressure on Portugal. I tend to think that there's pressure on both clubs because obviously you have the defending World Cup champion playing against the defending European Cup champion. There's going to be pressure on either side. France just came off a game where they didn't look too good. They lost, and you know they're going to want to turn things around. And Portugal is going to want to show them that they could play at that level, right? As you mentioned before, we're European champs, but it wasn't exactly in the most thrilling way that we won that title. Right? Final game, that shot from the middle of the street from Eder, yeah, that was exciting. But the rest of the tournament was, you know, it had its ups and downs. So at the end of the day, it's about performing and beating a team that's been really, I mean, you talk about Portugal's arch nemesis. In my honest opinion, it's been France all along. I mean, you go back to the 84 Euro, 2000 Euro. I mean, every time Portugal is on their way to somewhere, we seem to confront the French and we seem to stumble and get knocked out. I mean,
yeah, the 2006 World Cup as well. Yeah.
Well, yeah, they play 26 games. France has won 18. Drew 2 and lost 6. I mean, those are dominating numbers in favor of France. And we know Portugal is going to want to try to represent themselves well because they're going to want that respect. And at the same time, I think this will be a huge game for confidence-wise for Portugal. If they come out there, they played the first game where they drew 0-0. I thought Portugal had the better of play, which was surprising to me. I hadn't seen Portugal play that well against France in a long, long time. And I think they're going to want to build on that. And now being at home, I think the Portuguese are going to feel that they need to win this game, not just for confidence, not just for respect, man, but I think they want to show the French that we're not going to be, you know, your stepping mat anymore. We're going to sit here and we're going to demand respect. We're going to play you eye to eye. We have the players now that can match you guys, you know, 1 through 23, and you're coming into our home. You're not going to step all over us. We're going to try to, you know, play our best football because – again, going forward, as you mentioned, the winner of this game tomorrow solidify themselves a spot in the semifinals of the Nations League Cup or whatever it's called. But, you know, I think Portugal has the players to do so. And being at home, I think they'll be slightly favorites. But, you know, against the Frenchmen, it's a team full of superstars as well. Very good players. And it's going to be a fun one to watch.
You know, a game of this magnitude obviously is huge no matter where and when. But given the current climate these matches are being played in, how big of a factor, or not even a factor, but it's just a shame that Stade de Luz is not going to be full of fans for this huge match, a match that in recent history, in terms of the Slesong, outside of outside of competitions, but to have a win or go home type scenario against the quality of opponent that is France, having the fans there would be so huge in Lisbon, and that's probably the number one thing that is missing from this match, other than the two great teams on the field.
You got to feel for the fans, man. You got to feel for the Portuguese fans because this is a time that Portugal is playing well. This is a time that realistically Portugal has a realistic shot at beating the French at home. As I mentioned, a team that slapped us around for so many years. And now you can't attend the game. You have to be at home. So, I mean, you know, it sucks. But look, man, it's the pandemic, right? That's what's controlling the world right now. It's not the Portuguese, unfortunately. And we know everybody has to go through this, but it's sad. I'm saddened for you know our Portuguese mates and you know for them not to be there. But at the end of the day, it's about let's put our best foot forward. Let's show the French, man, that you can't come into Portugal and toy with us like you were accustomed to doing in the past. And I think the Portuguese fans will be ecstatic sitting at home if Portugal is able to pull off a victory here.
Yeah, these are not your Vols, old Portuguese players against France. That's for sure.
My Vols Portugal teams, they were nasty. So,
well, maybe that's one.
I'm older than you. Yeah. I'm older than you. So those teams in the 60s, man, with Eusebio and half, not half, but 80% of the Benfica team, the roster, I should say, on those Portuguese national teams, those teams were pretty nice, man. They were nice. The Benfica teams were definitely nice at the time.
Fair enough. Fair enough. So with the big match against France, if you were Fernand Santos, how would you feel the team? Who would be your starting 11?
Rui Patricio. Bet you were shocked with that one, huh?
See, I thought you were going to go with Vlach Dimuš, and I was like, well, that's interesting, but you know, we'll try with somebody on the national team. But that's just me.
I'm pretty sure there's a joke I can interject here regarding Vlach Dimuš, but I'm gonna leave my man alone. He had a very tough weekend, so I'm gonna give him a breather. I'll leave him alone. I'm pretty sure I come up with something clever to say about him on the next Benfica podcast. Rui Patricio, I'd play Nelson Smith on the right. Josef Font, Ruben Dias, João Cancelo on the left. My midfield, because you know he's going to play 4-3-3. My midfield trio will be Bruno, obviously, Fernandes, William Carvalho, Danilo. I don't like it, but I understand it. I probably would have given Renato Sanches a look, but you can't really go against William Carvalho and Danilo in such a big game. So I understand it. And then the million dollar question that everybody's been talking about ever since Portugal beat a demolished Andorra at home, which is, you know, there's only four of the three are going to play up top. In reality, it's two of the three because, you know, Ronaldo's going to play. So it's just, you know, which two, Jota, Bernardo, João Félix, which two of those three are going to play? And you know, some might be surprised, but for me, it's right now, based on current form, it's not even a question for me. It's Cristiano, it's João Félix, and it's Jota. Bernardo, love him. But based on form, those other guys are on fire, and that's what I'm going with because they've shown that, you know, in their own respective teams that they're scoring, they're making things look easy. And Bernardo, we haven't seen the usual Bernardo of late for Manchester City. So it's very simple. It's just based on form and they, you know, the starting lineup screams out on their own who should be starting here.
You know, I almost don't look at it as even Bernard Silva or making it a tough decision to keep him out. It's just one of those things where it's like now the competition and the talent level on top of the form is so much a huge part of Fernand Santos' decision because, you know, let's say if this is 4 years ago and Bernard Silva is coming off of the 2 years prior that he had where he was the MVP of the Nations League tournament last year and so many other accolades, I think his starting spot would still be pretty much guaranteed. But with this influx of young talent, this influx of talent that is performing at a high level in the highest of leagues in Europe, it's almost like it's not even Bernard Silva's fault at this point. It's just one of those things where it's like the emergence of these young players are finally coming to fruition, and it's just a numbers game at this point.
Yeah, but look, you asked me who I would start, right?
Sure,
but
absolutely.
I'm going to tell you who I think Fernando Santos is going to start. I think he is going to start Bernardo. I think João Félix is going to be on the bench. Just my opinion. João Félix, as much as we love him, well, we speak for myself because some people listening to the podcast might like the green teams and the blue teams. They might not be such huge fans as I am. But, you know, realistically and honestly, he hasn't really been himself on the Portuguese national team when you've seen him play. And even though he scored against Andorra playing alongside Cristiano Ronaldo, you could tell, I don't know if he's a little nervous around him or not, but he's not his natural self. And so he hasn't played up to his abilities on the national team. So I really think he's going to go with Jota on one side, Bernardo on the other, and with Ronaldo at top. That's what I think. I think everyone else I mentioned, with the exception of Bernardo being on the bench, I think every other player I've mentioned, I think it'll be Cancelo on the left. I think it'll be Smith on the right, Gomes, Font, all that. I think the one difference between my lineup and Fernando Santos' lineup will be Bernardo win for João Félix.
So you think Gonçalo is going to start over Rafael Guerreiro?
Well, then again, yeah, I'll say, yeah. If I'm Fernando Santos, I would do that. But then again, now you're at
it's me, a good problem to have.
He's gonna do. I would. I don't see why not.
Okay.
I love Rafael Guerreiro, right? I think he's a fantastic player, but he's not exactly the best defender.
It's like having Grimaud back there.
Exactly, but thankfully he's not on the national team. but yeah, I do think Cancelo right now, as we speak, might give him, and not that he's an excellent defender himself, I mean, by any stretch of the imagination, but that's what I would do. He's been playing left back at Manchester City with Kyle Walker on the other side. He's gotten the experience. And I just think he comes in a little bit better form. Now, the other thing to think about, will Fernando Santos reward Rafael Guerreiro? Obviously, we all know he's born in France, started his career in France, going against his, you know, some of his former mates that he's played in the youth level with. Don't know if that's going to influence anything, because he's going to know these guys a little bit better than I think Cancelo will know. But I don't think he could go wrong with Cancelo on the left and Nelson Semedo on the right, because for those of you that know me, you know I've been touting Semedo for a very long time, and I think he deserves to play. So, again, Cancelo playing on the left at Man City makes this a lot easier for me.
We are talking with Cristiano Oliveira of the Benfica podcast here on episode number 38 of the Seleção podcast. You know, at the beginning of the interview, Chris, we talked about how, you know, what a great time it is to be a fan of this national team. And it's very easy when things are going well for everyone to get along. And I even brought this up the last time you were on the show, and we talked a little bit of about what was going on with Benfica right after number 37. You know, we talked about it's easy to see why everyone is doing well under Bruno Lage. We'll see what happens when he gets hit in the mouth the first time, and obviously we know what happened when he got hit in the mouth. But it's easy when things are going well. But it does seem that this team is super close, and this team is very together. And that's hard, I think, especially for a team like Portugal, who doesn't have a lot of guys playing together on the club level, because they're so spread out. They're in Germany, they're in France, they're in England, they're in Spain, they're in Portugal, the small number that is. But, you know, what can you attribute, you know, what do you think could be the biggest attributing factor in that? And how much do you think Fernando Santos has a role in playing in that togetherness and that closeness that this team seems to be having?
Look, Fernando definitely needs to get some credit here, because he's able to juggle all these personalities and these egos, and he's able to align them all and get them all on the same path. But I think, like I mentioned before about Cristiano Ronaldo, I think when you're superstar, when you're leader, right, is a guy that's fun to be around, a guy that, you know, like I said, treats everyone with respect. I think that's the key factor here, because he makes things fun. And guys want to come in and they want to be around one another, rather than, you know what, after practice, after training, I mean, training and practice, the same thing. After a massage session, after a game, you go into your room, I'm going to go into my room. No, these guys all want to be around one another. And look, let's not kid ourselves. Portugal is a small country. These guys have all known each other since they were kids. A lot of these guys saying, you know, they've all played together through with the youth levels. They all come from pretty much Sporting, Benfica, Porto, Braga here and there, but these guys have all been around one another since they were young. So that definitely helps, you know, with the chemistry. But again, it doesn't matter how well these guys know one another. If your leaders aren't making things easy for you, if your leaders are rude, if your leaders are a-holes, they're not going to make the atmosphere fun. And I think Ronaldo plays a key role, a huge role in that, in making everything so easy to be around all these guys. And so Fernando Santos, a guy that we've all, I'm pretty sure at some point or another, have criticized his tactics, his boring football. But look, I'm not exactly the biggest fan of his, but I'll be glad to go to another European and fall asleep like I did for most of the games in 2016. The result at the end of the day is a W. That's all that matters. So he's my coach until proven otherwise. Until he fails, he's going to get another opportunity here with the national team. And then obviously, and I'm putting the carriage ahead of the horse here. But He's going to be around for a little while, and I think he's showing that he's been able to adapt a little bit here. As we mentioned before, with inserting the youngsters in the lineup against Andorra, he's showing a little bit more flexibility than what we're accustomed to, which, again, like you mentioned, it's a sign of good times, right? When things are going good, you're able to do a lot of these changes. When things are bad, that's when it gets tricky. So I think he's doing a good job of managing everybody, but it's about the superstars at the top that make it easy for everyone else to be around.
So, Chris, obviously we're previewing the two final matches here. The semifinals are next October in a destination to be determined later. Following these two matches and with your crystal ball, are we seeing Portugal in the knockout stage in the semifinals of the Nations League following these next two matches, and will they be the winners of Group 3 in League A of the Nations League?
I mean, look, as we've been talking here on the podcast, right? I don't see why not. These players are all informed. We're playing spectacular football. And look, until you beat the champ, you got to respect the champ. And I think Portugal is going to show up to play. And so they're going to make things very difficult as well for their opposition. But as you said, I expect Portugal to be the team standing there when it's all said and done.
His name is Cristiano Oliveira. You can follow him on Twitter at 10CO10. Also follow his great podcast, the Benfica Podcast, with hosts Alfredo Fumasas and Dave de Oliveira at Benfica Podcast. Chris, real quick before we let you go, I'd be remiss if I couldn't get a thought. Your latest thought on what's going on so far with this Benfica season. You can go as short or as long as you want. Just kind of, you know, you're, as you said, you're very opinionated, and I think it's one of the reasons why, A, I like having you on, but B, why your show, the Benfica Podcast, works so well. But you know, a last thought here on the current state of things.
Okay, how do I say this without getting beaten up? My last thought. Look, it's a long season. It's not how you start; it's how you finish. And I know I you know, screamed and yelled for many years now that I wanted JJ back, and things haven't gone as smoothly as we all expected it to be, but it's, you know, it's part of the journey. And when it's gone good, it's been good. You can tell the changes, the team's definitely played different level, you know, totally different than what we've seen over the last couple of years. That beautiful high press, the winning 3-0, I want the fourth. And, you know, it's been fun to watch. But when it's been bad, it's been brutal. And that's not why we brought this coaching staff in here. That's not why Benfica spent 100 million euros in transfers to struggle the way that they have the last couple of games. But the good thing is that it's a long season. And I think we have the right coach at the helm. I think he'll straighten this out. Got to give him time. It's not an excuse. A lot of people have been hitting me up privately and, you know, and getting on my case for not really coming out and killing them and ripping them. But I have to be brutally honest, as I've said on the Benfica podcast many times, when Pep Guardiola comes in and takes over a team, spends $1 billion within 2 hours, when Mourinho comes in and spends 500 million within 3 hours, even those guys need time. And due to the pandemic, he might sound like an excuse, but he's not getting that time. So he needs to get his players on the same page. He is a very demanding coach. He needs to get his ideas and his tactics into the players' brains, right? Where we've seen the former Benfica teams under his tutelage, right? They play with their eyes closed, and we're not seeing that here now. We see spurts of games that where the team's fantastic and others where the team falters. And so, again, the good thing is it's early. But it's about how we finish, not how we start. So I'm still confident, man.
So to be clear, you don't think the league will be wrapped up by December? That's an inside joke, folks.
Yes. Unfortunately, I'm upset. I think, like I said to Alfredo the other day, I think that's the thing that I'm most upset about is that I can't get to Christmas and declare the season over.
You're the best, man. Appreciate the time that you've given us here on episode number 38. Again, follow Cristiano Oliveira on Twitter at 10CO10 and the Benfica Podcast at Benfica Podcast. Chris, you're the best, man. Thanks for coming on, and we look forward to having you on again very, very soon.
Anytime, amigo. Man, keep up the great work. You do a fantastic job here for the Portuguese abroad and even just whomever, the English-speaking Portuguese soccer fans. I think you do a fantastic job. Keep it up. And thanks for having me on once again.
And our thanks once again to Cristiano Oliveira of the Benfica podcast for joining us on episode number 38 of the Seleção podcast. Follow Chris on Twitter at 10CO10. That's the number 10CO and the number 10. And give the Benfica podcast a follow as well on Twitter at Benfica podcast, all one word. Just a couple of things before we get out of here. Obviously, a huge matchup against France coming up on Saturday. But I'd be remiss if we did not mention something I forgot to mention in the beginning part of the episode, that this victory against Andorra is the 100th national team victory for CR7. So, you know, the number 100 has been very synonymous with Cristiano Ronaldo in the last couple of months here. But congratulations to our capitão on his 100th national team victory. You know, he's got what, almost 170 caps, and over 100 of those came in winning fashion. So congratulations to him. And you know, and Cristiano Oliveira, you know, I asked him what I thought his top or his starting lineup should be against France. And I agree with him on the majority of it. Obviously, Rui Patricio is who I think will be starting. I think it will be Josef Font and Ruben Dias in the middle. I do think João Cancelo is going to start. I don't believe it's going to be at left back. I do believe he will start at right back. And I do believe that Rafael Guerreiro, unless something is going on with him, I believe he will be back in the left back spot for this match against France. I do believe and agree with Cristiano Oliveira that it's going to be Danilo, William Carvalho, and Bruno Fernandes in the midfield. And up front, I do believe that Fernando Santos is going to go with the hot hands. I think he's going to go with CR7. I think he's going to go with Diogo Jota, and I think he's going to go with João Félix. Now, that obviously leaves Bernard Silva out of the starting 11, which is something that is not something we've become accustomed to in big time matches. But I just don't see how you can deny the form that that Ronaldo, Félix, and Jota are currently on. And again, this is more so a compliment to them and not any diss to Bernard Silva. But he's just right now in a numbers game that, frankly, he cannot win right now solely based on the form of Diogo Jota and João Félix. No one's going to ever supersede Cristiano Ronaldo in a big game. But you have these two young players, and not that Bernard Silva is old by any stretch of the imagination, but you have João Félix in form at Atletico Madrid. They're leading the league there. You have Liverpool, who are the defending EPL champs, and you have a guy like Diogo Jota, who is contributing in a very positive and offensive manner. I believe it's 7 goals in 11 games so far since he's gone to Liverpool. So I think it's going to be CR7, Diogo Jota, and João Félix. I do feel that Bernard Silva will be the first guy off the bench if they need to have some sort of shake-up to the midfield, shake-up to the wings to get the offense initiated. I think he'll be Fernando Santos' first call there. But I think they're going to try, and I think Fernando Santos is going to try to go with these hot hands and see how they mesh together. Obviously, you'd want to see that maybe in a game that is less significant than a game against France with the Nations League on the line. But I think it would be a bold decision, and frankly, I think the correct decision to go with the hot hands of CR7. Diogo Jota and João Félix. So we shall see. Everything to play for against France on Saturday the 14th. A win by the Seleção, and it is back-to-back semifinal appearances in the Nations League. And what better way to end what has been just the weirdest year of years for the Seleção than by getting back to the Nations League semifinals and being one step closer to defending their Nations League title. So that will do it for us right here on episode number 38 of the Seleção podcast. I want to thank Cristiano Oliveira of the Benfica podcast for joining us and giving us his thoughts on these upcoming matches. Again, give him a follow on Twitter at 10CO10 and give the Benfica podcast a follow at Benfica podcast. Again, to follow us on all our social medias, at Seleção Pod on Twitter and on Instagram, facebook.com/SeleçãoPod, email the show SeleçãoPod@gmail.com. And of course, visit our website, SeleçãoPod.com. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play. These are all, or not all, but some of the various podcasting platforms you can subscribe and listen to our show on. Again, leave us a little review and a 5-star rating if you wouldn't mind on the Apple Podcasts. And of course, again, our first ever sponsor, Manscaped. Go to manscaped.com and enter the code SLESSON for 20% off and free shipping to anywhere in the United States, the UK, Canada, New Zealand, and Australia. That will do it for us here on episode number 38, guys. My name is Danny Pinto. I have been your host. Thank you so much for listening to the Seleção podcast, a proud partner of Portugal.net. And as always, Força Portugal!